We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's Predictions 2011 all week long in the 2 o'clock hour on In Depth on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're hearing from experts in the federal government who are talking about what they think will happen in government in 2011. And I have to give credit where credit is due. My friend Bob Otto of Agilex, the former CIO at the Postal Service, is with me now. And Bob, you came up with this idea a couple of months back last time you were on the Federal News Countdown. So kudos to you for coming up with this. It seems only right that you should be on doing your predictions the first day I do it.
Well, thank you, Francis, for having me, as always.
Happy to do it. You've got 10 here, so we're going to buzz through a couple of these toward the bottom so we can focus on some of the meaty ones that are at the top of your list. Number 10, a federal payroll freeze and an improving economy will hamper federal IT insourcing efforts in 2011 of hiring enough skilled IT resources.
Yeah, you know, Francis, many of the federal managers I talk to are finally planning to leave or retire from government, and the payroll freeze didn't help. But bottom line, I see this as a lost opportunity for federal managers to bring in the best and brightest into the government service.
Number 9, Oracle will buy Dell to expand its capabilities and service reach. What business is Dell in that Oracle isn't when it comes to the government that they'd like to be?
Well, you know, here with the acquisition of Sun, Oracle transformed itself into a more comprehensive IT provider. And you know, they're targeting themselves against HP and IBM, and they need a minimal service presence and hardware sales force to compete. So at the same time, Dell is running out of runway and time to redefine itself. I see a perfect match here.
All right, you've got a couple on here that I think are really interesting because you talk about some of the formative stages of what will happen in 2011 that will have longer term implications for the government. And number 8 is one of those. The federal government will own more mobile devices than PCs by 2014. Now, I have to say, with all due respect to you and your expertise, I probably could have predicted that one.
Well, you know, I always don't predict things by myself. According to Morgan Stanley, we're going to see more mobile connections to the internet than traditional PCs by the middle of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about this in terms of government, there's an increasing number of workers that don't work at a desktop. And if OMB wants to fulfill its pledge to transform the government IT, support telepresence, and support COOP, they need to ensure that these workers have that access to that technology right now.
There was an interesting study, too, that Goldman Sachs put out that said that one-third of PCs in existence today, when they're refreshed, will be replaced by mobile devices and not by standard desktops or laptops. I think that's fascinating, too.
Yeah, you know, Francis, do you see anybody who doesn't have a handheld device?
Yeah, it's really getting amazing when my mom got one, who is just a lovely lady, but she's certainly not a government executive or anything like that, and she's doing more and more from her mobile device. My son was tickled to get a text from his grandmother the other day. That tells you where we're headed here, I think. Your prediction number 7, Bob, is by 2015, an element of critical national infrastructure will be compromised by an online attack. That's not the kind of prediction that we're looking for, but it's good that you're telling us the truth about what you think exists potentially.
Well, you know, what I'm seeing here is I researched this topic, and based on a prediction that Gartner had forecast, one of the biggest challenges we have today is much of our critical infrastructure across government is in the hands of the private sector. And from where we stand today, it doesn't seem like we have the right national policies in place to ensure that these systems and infrastructure are fully secure. I think we're headed for hitting the wall here soon.
All right. Bob Otto is my guest. He's with Agilex now and is the former CIO at the U.S. Postal Service, so he knows from whence he speaks. And he's got a list of 10 predictions that he sees happening in 2011, or at least the groundwork for these things happening being laid in 2011. And we've got 6 more to go. Bob, we'll dig into 6, 5, and 4 when we continue on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com.
I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you, because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest, and over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-700-3013. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-700-3013 for your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-700-3013.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider.
Manish Chopra is the Obama administration's chief technology officer.
The ecosystem that's been born out of the open health data movement, I believe, is one of the shining lights.
Of course, it's great having somebody like Todd Park over there.
We've got chief technologies officers at the VA under Peter Levin, and Jim Shelton, who runs innovation over at the Department of Education. All have demonstrated results in fostering these ecosystems to not only publish the data, but to do something meaningful with it.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the 2 o'clock hour this week on In Depth, we're focusing on predictions for 2011. Some of the biggest brains in the world of the federal government predicting what they think will happen in 2011, not just events, but also the groundwork being laid for the future in the world of the federal government. And my guest and the person who originally came up with this idea, the suggestion for this series, is Bob Otto of Agilex, the former CIO at the Postal Service. And it's always great to have you on the show, Bob. Your prediction number six, the federal government will fail to implement a government-wide policy for social media use in 2011, leading to vastly different approaches agency by agency. Now, GSA came up with the terms of service agreements, and I think there was maybe some misunderstanding about that, that it really was just TOS and not the policy about how these different platforms can be used. Is that right?
Yes, and I think that there's a lot of discussions about this, but nobody's really focusing on this. So from my perspective, here's the way I look at it. There's a lot of upside to the use of a social media, but there's also some risks to it. And this issue isn't necessarily the need to restrict social media, but rather, why don't we simply establish some clear guidelines for what's permissible and what's not, and sort of share that. I mean, I've heard the Defense Department talking about it, I've heard GSA talking about it, and others, and, you know, the things with WikiLeaks just recently, I think that's going to change people's perspectives. But I just don't see OMB focusing on this at all.
Yeah, the WikiLeaks thing has really given people a lot of pause, and understandably so. My colleague Chris Dorbeck wrote on his blog a post last week. Navy CIO writes first and last blog post. Navy CIO Terry Halverson saying blogging must be a lower priority, and talking about the fact that the view seems to be that maybe people are spending too much time on social media. And it's interesting because that's really kind of 180 degrees opposite what his predecessor Rob Carey did when Rob was there.
You know, everything that we say and write can now be discovered some way, shape, or form. And, you know, we have to really realize that there's got to be some guidelines on what's permissible and what's not.
This is kind of a 21st century loose lips sink ships concept, and there's some, I think, viable discussion, some discussion that holds merit about whether that's an appropriate mentality, that's an appropriate worldview in the environment we live in. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think that we have a society now that uses this social media day in and day out. And in fact, when we hire new IT employees, they want that to be part of their job. So I don't think that we can just turn it off, but somewhere we've got to have a set of guidelines for.
Mm-hmm. And they should be government wide, you believe?
I believe that. Yes, I do.
All right. Robert Otto's prediction number 5 for 2011. The 112th Congress will provide federal CIOs with greater procurement flexibility. That is music to the ears of your peers who are still in government at that level, isn't it?
You know, this one was probably out of the 10 predictions, the one that I was saying, gee, I don't know if I even could predict this going right or left here, because the Congress really hasn't agreed on much up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But this is a key OMB focus, and I believe we're going to see movement here, because, and it's going to take some time. It's probably going to take till the end of 2012 to see it happen, but the CIOs need this capability, and I believe that Congress is going to give them the ability to move forward in the right direction on this.
If I am Joe CIO at the Department of Blank, what difference will this make in my day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year planning, job description, worldview to have this money authority? Everybody talks about Roger Baker at VA. He's got it now, and your prediction is that Moore will get the same kind of power and discretion that he has.
Yeah, and I think that with that authority, and I had it at the Postal Service. In fact, Roger and I talked about the VA being almost looking like the Postal Service back in the early 2000s. Is if you get this authority, now you have a vested say in the decision making. You can implement enterprise solutions and not siloed solutions. And you can veto projects, not because you want to stop it as a CIO, but because it's a business decision and maybe the wrong investment.
This is going to take guts, though, on the part of these CIOs to take this on, because this is going to mean that accountability is just going to go through the roof, isn't it? I mean, if you're the idea person behind where the agency should be headed technologically, and you've got the money power to make it happen, then any issues that show up, any challenges that show up, are really going to be in your lap, aren't they?
Yeah, but you've been accountable as a CIO anyway,
mm-hmm.
from a perception perspective. Now let's give you the authority, though, to do your job.
All right.
And by the way, some CIOs, this is going to be hard for them to do because they've been conditioned that they didn't have that authority.
Mm-hmm. What kind of skills, what kind of professional development are these CIOs going to be looking for, do you think?
Well, you know, that part I'm not totally sure of, but I will say this is that the CIO is going to have to be more of a business person now and not just looking at technology from that one respect.
Robert Otto's 10 predictions for 2011 in focus in this part of In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Your bosses at Agilex will be happy to hear about this one, I bet. Number 4 prediction from you, most federal agencies will introduce Agile in 2011, and it'll become the predominant software development methodology across government by 2014. It just seems to make a lot of sense that you're going to approach these things in a more modular way than trying to build everything, first of all, from scratch, and then, second of all, in these huge behemoth programs that go on for years with huge, gigantic budgets required from the very beginning.
Well, Francis, you are right. At Agilex, we are experts at Agile, implementing Agile projects and even Enterprise Agile. But, you know, OMB has been very clear on the need to stop runaway projects and adopt a more Agile and incremental approach rather than the traditional waterfall where you go and develop requirements for, let's say, 2 years, and by that time you start to do the development, and it takes another year before you start seeing any code. And pretty soon, 2 or 3 years have gone by, the customers have turned over, the business has changed, and you don't really solve the business needs. So most of the CIOs that I talk to endorse this. The challenge that every CIO is going to face here is there's a change management issue, there's a training team issue, and there's a changing procurement regulations to support this issue as well.
Mm-hmm. There are two things, especially when it comes to software development, that I think revolve around the ability of agencies to take advantage of agile development, and they both revolve around COTS. The idea, first of all, that the COT solutions are out there, that the vendors have them to offer in the first place, that hasn't been the case for up until very recently. And secondly, the agency's willingness to adopt them to get out of the mode of everything that we do is so specialized and so unique and so original that we have to start from absolute ground zero with total brand new code that's unique to this project. Getting out of that mode and saying there are things that are available, maybe we got to tweak them, maybe we got to twist them around a little bit or change some things to suit our needs, but we can pull this stuff off the shelf and bend it a little bit to fit what we needed to do instead of having to start from scratch.
What I found across my 40 years in this business is if you find a COT solution, a package that will satisfy your business at least 75% or more of your business processes, then go ahead and implement it. Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to have a nightmare of just keeping up with the change management of those changes, because those COTS packages are changing every 6 months just like your own software is changing.
All right. I had a revelation yesterday running an errand, actually the day before yesterday because today's Monday, regarding your former employer. And so I'm going to turn it into a kind of a prediction slash rant. Okay. I'll share that with you, and I want to hear your opinion maybe when we come back from the break. And then we've got your top three predictions for 2011 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Bob Otto of the Postal Service, or of Agilex now, formerly with the Postal Service. He's my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Attention. If you're attempting to lose weight, please stay tuned for an important opportunity. In a 6-month clinical study, participants lost an average of 30 pounds without changing their eating habits or routine. Now, Sensa is conducting a market trial in this listening area. If you're trying to lose weight, you are eligible to try Sensa free for 30 days. Call 1-800-400-7910 now to request your free trial. Participation in this free trial does not require any dieting, pills, or change in lifestyle. In fact, we only ask that you continue your current eating habits. Just use clinically proven Sensa, the same weight loss breakthrough you've seen on Extra, Dateline NBC, and America's Newsroom. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. If you want to lose weight, you are eligible to participate in this market trial. For your 30-day free trial, you must call this number now. 1-800-400-7910. That's 1-800-400-7910. 1-800-400-7910.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for December is the Capital Area Food Bank. When is the last time you went to bed hungry? Right here in the Washington metro area, over 200,000 children are going to bed hungry each night. Help the Capital Area Food Bank make this holiday season special for children in need. For every dollar you donate, the food bank can provide 3 meals. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. And remember, hunger never takes a holiday.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest doing predictions for 2011, which we'll be doing, by the way, all this week in the 2 o'clock hour on In Depth with Francis Rose, is Bob Otto of Agilex. He's the former CIO at the Postal Service and listing his top 10 predictions for 2011. And Bob, I'm going to post all of these up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon.
Great.
So we can get you back on about a year from now and see how you did. We'll check in on you. Now, before we get down to number 3, 2, and 1 on your predictions, I was I went to the post office on Saturday to take some stuff, like a couple of million other people that needed to get mailed out before the holidays, and I got behind a lady who thought that she was at mailboxes, et cetera, or something. And it occurred to me, because she wanted the person behind the counter to tape the box up and to put the stuffing in around her stuff. I don't know what she was sending off, but something. And all of that jazz, which is not a service that I really thought that the people behind the counter at the postal service performed. But I wondered if maybe they shouldn't, because that happens a lot when I go into the postal service, the post office, that somebody wants that service performed for them, and I wonder if maybe like one lane at each post office shouldn't be devoted to that. It's a premium service, like when you pay to go into one of these mailboxes places to have them do the packing and shipping for you. So just a little rant. Maybe my prediction should be that the Postal Service will get into that business and it'll help them with the bottom line in 2011. I certainly hope so.
Well, submit your idea to the Postmaster General.
I'll send it to him, and I'm sure he's getting a million of them, and that mine will be read at some point in time, but who knows. Hey, your prediction number 3 on this list of top 10 predictions for 2011 is that accountability will replace transparency as a primary agency focus in 2011. What will that mean if that happens for the way that business is done inside the agencies now and what they're focused on?
Well, you know, if you go back to the original idea, the idea was never to pursue transparency for transparency's sake. The goal was to drive accountability. And if you think about the challenges with the first transparency efforts, the data accuracy wasn't sort of there, and so people didn't come back. Now, with the recent OMB recommendations, what we're seeing is a drive to use these performance metrics to drive the management in each of the agencies to deliver successful major projects. And so what you're going to see is metrics on each of these projects for agencies and holding people like the CIOs and the agency head accountable for, if you've got the money to implement the program, then you need to be successful with managing the program as well, and you'll put dedicated full-time people on those programs.
All right. Does this shift, in your view, mean that the agencies have confidence now that the data is clean, that the data is accurate, or does it just mean that it's clean enough that it's time that they're able to make the next step?
No, it really means two things. Is they still need to work on the cleanliness of the data, and that is an evolving thing. But more importantly, they've got these multi-million dollar programs that they need to now make sure they've got the best and brightest people managing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Your prediction number 2 is actually kind of ties in, I think, with prediction 10. That prediction was a federal payroll freeze and an improving economy will make it harder for insourcing efforts to bring enough people in to the government. Your prediction number 2 is that the federal IT headcount for operations and maintenance will drop by 25% by 2015. But the pay freeze factor isn't the only factor there, is it?
No, in fact, I don't relate this one to number 10 at all.
Oh, okay.
I look at it this way. If you have 2,000 data centers and you're moving to 800, it's not just closing the facilities and eliminating the equipment. You're also eliminating and reducing the number of people that it'll take to run that. So if we're investing in data center consolidation in cloud, which is the direction that we're taking over the next 5 years, at some point we're going to see a significant reduction in the number of required resources. So let's just say that there's 150 employees in one center and 150 in another. If you consolidate those into one, you don't need 300 employees in one site.
Right.
So the big deal for the CIOs, and I know that some of them are thinking about it, but others haven't got to this yet, is they're going to have to retrain or reposition this staff, and this is going to be a major management issue in the next couple of years.
That's actually where I was going to go next. If you were going to use your example of 150 at one data center, 150 at another, and one of those goes away, do the 150 people go away? Do a portion of them go away, and the other 150 are reassigned? What's how would that look?
Actually, the answer is yes. In fact, when I closed data centers, what happened was that, you know, some were offered new careers, some were retrained, some decided to take early retirements, and some went on to do other things. So you really don't need that that many people when you consolidate many sites.
All right, your number one prediction of 2011 is the federal government will close more than 250 data centers by the end of 2011, yet significant ROI will not be evident until late in 2012. I know sometimes when people talk about data center consolidation, they make it sound like a panacea, that the minute that you turn them off, turn the data center off, you're going to start making money. And you're warning that it sounds like that's not necessarily the case.
No, and that isn't the case. In fact, if you think about closing a site, the federal government owns that real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? Did they sell that real estate? I don't think so. And so if you think about this, this is low-hanging fruit. Think about the smaller sites for which they'll just move the computing to a larger site. And this is the easier stuff. The real challenge here is that the smaller sites won't have significant savings impacts on the IT budget. And anything they save initially, they're probably going to take that savings and reinvest it into the large-scale consolidation initiatives because they haven't been given budget to go do this yet. So where does the huge savings come from? It's when they get to the bigger centers and they close those and now don't need the heating, the cooling, the lights, and the people, and the software products, and the hardware, et cetera. When they don't need all that, then you're talking about a lot of money savings.
Bob, this is a great list of predictions for 2011. There are some on here that will cause your peers and former colleagues in the CIO community to smile, some to cause them to frown, and some to just kind of give them a pain in the neck, I think. But if I had to pick one that I think is most impactful based on the conversations that I have with vendors and with government people, I think it's number five, the CIOs having greater procurement flexibility and having greater money power.
You know, when I talk to the CIOs across the federal agencies, and I've probably talked to 65 or 70 of them over the last 18 months, one of the things that they say is that they'd like to try new vendors out there who have some really great ideas, but to go through the procurement process and they don't hold the monies in many of these cases, it's hard for them to get to these creative companies and to say that they're going to implement an enterprise solution because they don't hold the money.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff, Bob. It's always great to talk to you. I hope you have a great holiday, and I'm looking forward to having you on a bunch in 2011 and talking more about these challenges that people in the technology world and government are facing. I appreciate your time.
Same to you, Francis, and you have a Merry Christmas.